never rests.
What is up, everybody? This is the Georgia Show, and it is Clemson post game. I'm Jake Rowe. He's Rusty Mansell, and the Dogs are celebrating a 34-3 win over Clemson, and one where Georgia just absolutely just seal club Clemson in the second half of that football game. I mean, 28-3 in the second half, just beat them up bad.
Yeah, I hadn't heard seal club in a long time. Let's look at some of the stats. Georgia, 447 yards total offense. Clemson, 188. Georgia, 170 yards of rushing. Clemson, 46 rushes on 23 attempts. And really a lot to talk about. Obviously, you're going to talk about Nate Frazier. That's a person, you know, for Dogs HQ guys, no surprise. We felt like this guy had – just when he had opportunities, Jake, he was just kind of flashing in camp. He finishes with 11 attempts for 83 yards. That's what he had receiving there. He had one catch for 24 yards. It's funny, he fell down one time, and I think he probably would have – he might have housed it and on the edge and missed it. So a lot of things to get into right here, but I think the best thing we could talk about early on was second half adjustments and how Georgia attacked that defensive front. Because I'm going to tell you something, guys. That defensive front seven for Clemson is as good as Georgia's going to face all year. They didn't have the depth, and Georgia wore them down, but their starting seven, especially those four down front guys, they are hell to deal with.
I said it on that first long drive that Georgia had, that where they got the first 3 points, they got down deep and they didn't convert. I said, listen, that wasn't what you wanted out of that points-wise, but that was a body blow. That was kind of a body blow for you as an offense to kind of – that something was going to pay off later on. It was a good, like, 5-6 minute drive. And you know, you started to see Georgia. They came out with a good plan in the third quarter, got a couple of touchdowns. And those last two touchdowns were just them kind of just exerting physical dominance over Clemson at that point, because it was – Georgia – listen, I was a little bit of a – I thought Carson Beck got off to a slow start. I thought the Georgia offensive line got off to a very amped up.
He seemed kind of amped up. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think there was a couple of times where I thought he got the ball out a little too quick and kind of got down to a check down before he had to. But later on in the game, you saw him hold the football for a little bit. You saw him get to some other progressions and hit some guys. You know, we can talk about a lot of this, you know, individual plays in this game. But I didn't want to gloss over the first half completely, because, you know, that wasn't, you know, Georgia standard football, I don't think. I think it was a little sloppy. And, you know, defensively, I want to talk about them for a little bit extensively, because I was really impressed. But I really thought that first half, other than the defensive play, just wasn't really Georgia football. And good thing they did it for the last two quarters, and they did it and showed you what they're capable of.
Yeah, give Clemson some credit, man. I mean, they're number 11. He was a 5-star out of coming out. Barrett Carter, he was a 5-star. I think people kind of looked at Clemson and thought, you know, they were going to run through them, and they didn't in the first half. I think Georgia got hit in the mouth a couple of times. I think they tried to run the ball a little bit. You got a true freshman. Listen, Georgia staff knew that Nate Frazier gave you a little more juice than Branson Robinson, but you don't know how a freshman's going to react in a game. They didn't put him in there, I think, to the third series, got him going a little bit. So, you know, right now Branson Robinson's coming back still from that injury. He's still got a little ways to go, Jake. It is really good that he's playing, but he doesn't quite have that one burst that you have seen out of him before. And that'll come back, and have ETN do there to come back at some point. Kirby said he didn't know when that thing – I will be surprised if Trevor Etienne doesn't play next week. I'll say it right now. I'll be surprised if he doesn't play next week. So we'll see how that goes. But, you know, you look at things like that and just got to give Clemson a little bit of credit. I do think Georgia missed some things. And Clemson – this is what Clemson's game plan was. They were going to man up the Georgia wide receivers, and we were going to see if you could run the ball down our throat. I think Georgia a little bit tried to, and you know, force that on them. Certainly that was a different game plan in the second half as they come back. Credit Mike Bobo with a big-time adjustment. Started running those defensive linemen from sideline to sideline, and ultimately they wore Clemson out, man. And Clemson, man, I was watching them the last two drives, hands on hips, breathing a lot. It looked like Georgia against Alabama in the second half. Those defensive linemen had to play too many reps, and you got a massive O-line weighing on you. Jake, let me ask you this, man. One thing I was surprised, they rotated the line, the tackles more than I thought they would. Monroe Freeland played right and left.
And left tackle, yeah.
And he played left tackle. You know, we've said that. We've said that for a while, that Georgia's going to play three tackles. And sure enough, they did. They did play three tackles today. And Monroe Freeland was the number one rated offensive lineman, I think, in the country in his class for on three. And it's time for him to go. And he played a lot today.
He did. He did. And, you know, Rusty, one of the things I wanted to highlight was the fact that Georgia scored four touchdowns today. Three came from guys that weren't on the team this time last year, and one came from a walk-on. So that was, you know, if there's not more of a Georgia thing to kind of get the production out of those guys. Let's start with the one I think, you know, was kind of the biggest play, I think, was at this point, Georgia's just trying to get into the end zone for the first time, and they run that kind of back shoulder fade to Colby Young.
Yep.
Heard a lot about that being kind of his thing during camp, and that's something there. Now, teams are going to do what they can to try and, you know, defend that, but there's only so much you can do. That's why it's such an effective play, and seeing that chemistry kind of come through in game one was pretty encouraging, I feel like, for Georgia fans in the red zone.
Well, Greg McElroy, he pointed out on TV, I know you didn't get a chance to see that, but he goes, look, they're 3-by-1. They got three wide receivers at the bottom of the field. You got Colby Young, a 6'5" wide receiver, one-on-one at the top of the screen. And sure enough, they come right at him. And the defensive back there had to respect him, as big as he was. He was able to get in and out of his break pretty smooth. And listen, we're going to talk a ton all week on offensive production, playmakers, who can do this, who can do that. But I think Georgia got a chance to see some guys today make some plays. And I think Colby Young is a guy that we knew was going to be a red zone threat. They took a couple shots to him down there. But how much more can they get him in the offense? You know, obviously injuries, we're going to talk about that, you know, down the line, probably more tomorrow as we get some more stuff. But, you know, if Dylan Bell's out a little while, don't know, you know, what exactly went on with him. I know they said on TV cramps, but I haven't seen anybody carried off on cramps like that in a while. You know, it looked to me like he kind of got his head rung a little bit. So we'll see what the deal on that. I won't speculate too much, but the main point of that is, you know, London Humphreys comes in and plays for him. He makes a couple plays, and that's what Georgia saw out of him, that one cut and top end speed, man. He caught that crossing route and he rolled out on him. So you look at some of those things, but Colby Young in the red zone, Jake, you said that from day one. This guy's going to be that Javon Wims kind of back shoulder throw guy, red zone type guy. You saw that today. You're on mute, and I told you to go on mute.
Yeah, you did. You did tell me. Did,
that, you got a mulligan, you got a mulligan today. I get
a mulligan. So, yeah, one of the things going back to that Humphreys touchdown, which, you know, it kind of put the game away. I don't necessarily know that you felt like Clemson had a chance to come back from 17 points down then, but that was the one that put Georgia up 27-3. Like you said, showed Georgia fans exactly why he was such a top target kind of coming out of the portal there. Mm-hmm. And, listen, the way that they just found production out of different pockets, they got a big play from about, I think, four or five different guys on offense, you know, and that's without Trevor Etienne. They're banged up now defensively. Warren Brinson goes down. I think we get a little update on injuries. Warren Brinson goes down. That looked rough in real time, but he was actually, you know, kind of down and walking around on the sideline.
You might not have saw it on TV, but when Cash Jones scored, Warren Brinson came over and he's like bouncing around. I thought, oh boy, the kind of spirit he was in, like he was going crazy with Cash Jones. So I don't know how serious that's going to be. I know these comments are going to be asking about injuries, guys. The game just got over, so Dogs HQ, we're going to have the injury part and what we're hearing. But you know, Warren Brinson, I felt like to see him the way he was acting, I thought like he was in a pretty good mood and probably just got a little bit banged up, and it's good to get him back today too.
And Michael Williams, I kept a close eye on him for a bit. He was right there with the defensive guys for about two drives there until they took him back to the locker room. Yeah. You know, may have been the only way that they, for all I know, it may have been the only way they could get him out of their ear from trying to get back in the game. So, you know, that one was one that again, he never went to the injury tent on the field, but he did go to the locker room at some point later on. And then Rusty brought up the Dylan Bell thing and how they mentioned those cramps on television. So, you know, again, Rusty, we'll have updates on all that. Rusty, I want to talk a little bit about the defense before we head out here, man. Much was made. So much was talked about, you know, hey, can this Georgia defense kind of step up from last year? We better stop in the run. They didn't have a bunch of sacks or a bunch of mistakes from Clemson to kind of backing them up behind the chains. They just kind of shut the run game down by itself today. And that was pretty impressive considering Brinson went out early in the game and Georgia was missing two other interior guys.
Man, I looked at there at one point. They had Joseph Jonah Janye playing 99. They had Jamal Jarrett playing. I mean, they had guys in there. They had 29 was playing down inside. I mean, they were deep into their rotation. But the defensive side of me, the defensive part of my brain, and you look at the pressures, and man, they were that close. Like, they were that close to getting a couple. In fact, on one of those big chunk plays, you're going to watch, if when you watch the replay, Smile Mundon is sent on a blitz, one of those A-gap blitzes, and it's a twist stunt, basically. The two backers will crisscross. And they ran it the first series against Ohio State. They ran that, and he got C.J. Stroud to the ground. He was free coming, and he tripped up over a lineman, or they're going to get to him right there. So I think when Glenn Schumann looks at this tape, you know, again, they're not going to be disappointed at all. But, you know, you want to get some more sacks and those types of things. But they were that close a couple of times. And, guys, I told you, man, Jalen Walker, turn 11 loose. And I saw him playing inside backer. Raylan Wilson, man, Raylan Wilson will absolutely strike your ass. And I love number 5. And I'm sorry I'm cussing on a Saturday. I'm trying to stop all that. But I'm telling you right now, I love number 5. He's only going to get better. And I'm telling you right now, 5 in 2 years, there's no telling how high he goes in NFL draft because he is special. I mean, I love that dude. The speed of him, he's a heat-seeking missile, can cover, really love 5.
I tell you what, I was probably, if I had to pick one guy other than Jalen Walker that I was most impressed with, it was Raylan Wilson. I felt like he had it. Mykael Williams, before he exited the game, had a couple of tackles for loss, and that's impressive. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I really felt like, I mean, Jalen Walker, it's hard to be impressed with anybody more than him. 6 total tackles, a sack and a half, a tackle and a half for loss. The plays that he was making kind of from sideline to side, running that play down from the backside on second down and then making the stop on the front side on third down, just 2 in a row right there was tremendous. You know, Smile Mundon ended up with 4 tackles. Raylan Wilson, K.J. Bolden with a big tackle on the first drive of the game. Kind of flies up there. Something we didn't mention is something we picked up on word of, and we had it for our, you know, folks over at Dogs HQ about 20 minutes before kickoff. Yonell Aguero did not play today. Yeah. He was slotted to kind of be that first team star. And Ja'Cory Thomas saw some time there, but more often than that, Rusty, they just flipped the whole lineup around, used K.J. Bolden at safety, Dan Jackson at safety, and Malachi Starks at star. And I tell you what, I'd like to go – I'm like Kirby probably here. I'd like to go back and watch it and just watch number 24 play star.
Yeah.
But he sure didn't seem to have a hell of a ball game from where I was at.
What about that interception, man? Look, just like the Oregon play and – it's just a different type of athlete there to be, you know. And I'll say this to Georgia fans, enjoy it, man. Enjoy every game of this guy playing. This is it for him. He's going to be a surefire top 20 pick in the draft. Teams are going to love him. Enjoy watching Malachi Starks. You know, you got a special, special player in K.J. Bolden that's playing safety as well. So, you know, we'll go back and watch the tape. You'll go back and probably watch it 10 times tonight. I'll dig into it tomorrow, some of the things that I saw. But, huge win, man. Huge win there for Georgia. And I think I tweeted out, let me make sure I got this right, because I had to go back and count that quick. Going back and look at the series by series. Last two games versus Clemson, Clemson's had the ball 21 times. And out of those 21 times, they have forced 14 punts. Clemson's had 2 field goals, 2 interceptions, and 3 drives that ended on downs or at the half. That is absolute, what do you call it, seal clubbing? That is absolute domination by Georgia defensively against Clemson. And listen, we don't cover Clemson, so we ain't got to take all those questions. They're going to get ate up with that, and Dabo's going to get ate up with that, and all the talk of how he handles things. But you want to talk about consistency? You give Clemson 21 offensive possessions, and they haven't scored a touchdown yet. That is putting a foot in you know what against the Tigers.
There's no doubt about that, man. It was a listen. It wasn't pretty first half, but I don't know if it could have been a more ideal response in the second half. Basically, a perfect response there in the second half. And we'll see where the injuries are. We'll see how healthy Georgia can get between now and probably Kentucky. I don't think you're rushing anybody back for this week. But we'll cover all that in the coming days. But Georgia 34-3 over Clemson to begin the 2024 team. Looking like the number one team in America. Looking like it might be a problem, especially if it gets better and gets off to faster starts. Y'all take it easy. We'll be back with you tomorrow night right here at Dogs HQ YouTube.